Okay. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. And this is in honor of the upcoming Gimel Tammuz. So in a few weeks is... actually, today, 2 weeks. Is it right? Yeah, today, 2 weeks is the 3rd of Tammuz, which is the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe. And this year, it's 30 years. So that's a long time. I'm pretty sure I'm able to give a shiur next week, but I'm leaving the next day, so all depends. I'll let you know, just in case. I mean, if you take it, there is a shiur, just in case. If there isn't, I'll let you know. Yeah. So I'm going for the little Tammuz. Also to be there. So I want to do, this is a mimer that the Rebbe actually said on Gimel Tammuz. Now, the reason that the Rebbe said a mimer on Gimel Tammuz was because even before the Rebbe passed away, Gimel Tammuz was a special day for a different context, and that is that we know the previous Rebbe, the Rebbe's father-in-law, in 1927 was imprisoned by the communists. He was taken to prison on the 15th of Sivan, which was last week. He was responsible. He was fighting, you know, he became the Rebbe in 1920, and it was just after the Russian Revolution, after the communists came in, and the Jewish communists, unfortunately, the Bolsheviks and the Evsekzi, as they were called, and they really tried to shut down religion throughout Russia, and the Rebbe, previous Rebbe, fought them with the great Mesiris Nefesh, and opened up all these underground chadorim and mikvahs, and he was really a number one target for them, and eventually they caught up with him and they arrested him in 1927, took him to jail, and he originally was sentenced to death, actually. And through a whole series of miraculous events, they eventually freed him. But the first time they freed him on the 3rd of Tammuz, but they sentenced him to 3 years of exile in a city called Kostroma, which is very far away from Leningrad, where he was at the time. So he went there, and then 10 days later, on the 12th of Tammuz, he was completely freed. Which is why there's a Hasidic Yantiv called Yud Beis Tammuz, the 12th of Tammuz, which is the freedom of the previous Rebbe. But the beginning of the freedom of the previous Rebbe was the 3rd of Tammuz. That's when he was out of danger. He actually came out of jail. And often the Rebbe would mark that day and say various things. So this is a mimer that the Rebbe said one time on Parshas Korach, which was 3rd of Tammuz. This is in 1958. Was edited and published in 1989, but it's a mimer on Korach, but there's a whole theme that runs through the mimer, which is very, very fundamental to the way the Rebbe looks at things and the way the Rebbe ran his leadership, so to speak. So I wanted to do it with you. Now, it's a lot of stuff here, so I'm only going to take certain excerpts inside, and we'll see how we go. If I don't finish it today, maybe we'll finish it tomorrow, next week. Okay. So you have a look. He starts with a different pasuk and it talks about Yud Beis Tammuz a little bit, but then he starts with Korach and he says Yesh Lahaktim in the highlighted part. Mashakasa Bereish Parsha Seina, what's written in the beginning of our parasha, meaning Parsha's Korach. By Yikach Korach, right? You know the story of Korach made a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the complaints was that he also wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, and he fought with Aaron, the appointment of Aaron being Moshe Rabbeinu's brother as the Kohen Gadol, and so on. So the parasha starts off with Yikach Korach. Korach took. And V'targum Unkelis, and the Unkel, the Targum, translated as V'ispalig Korach. The Korach divided. He split. He made a split. Right? That's interesting. In other words, he made a division. Now, the B'kamo M'koymu Shenemar V'yikach, a lot of times when it says in the Pasuk the term V'yikach, Targum v'nosiv, the Targum translated as he took it, right? He took something. But v'kan tirgim v'ispeleg. And over here, the Targum specifically said that Korach created a division. That's what he did, right? V'isse b'sefer Noam Elimelech. And there's a sefer called Noam Elimelech, one of the Hasidic Rebbes, one of the students of the Magid Mizrich, that he says, what does it mean v'ispele Korach? Well, derech rakia hamavdil in mayim lemoy. He says that Noam Elimelech says that the division of Korach was similar to the heaven that Hashem created on the second day of creation that divided between the upper waters and the lower waters. Right? That's what it says in the Chumash. Hashem says, Yehi Rakia, there should be a heaven, an expanse, I don't know exactly how they translate Rakia, that should divide between the upper waters and the lower waters, right? Eventually, originally the world was filled with water, and then there was the heaven, and Hashem lowered the, some waters went below, some waters went up, and there's the division between the upper waters and the lower waters, and the Noam HaLemelech says that that's similar to what Korach did. Korach, when it says that he made a division, it was similar to that division between the upper waters and the lower waters. Okay? We'll see what that means in a second, but okay. Umavaira Tzemach Tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek explains, the Pirush there, that this explanation, the Ispalig Korach al derech Rakia Hamad, this thing that the Noam HaLemelech says, that the division of Korach was similar to the split between the upper waters and the lower waters, well, Pima the Issa Bazar goes also according to what it says in Zohar. The Rakia HaMavdil, that the heaven that made a division between the upper waters and the lower waters, have a machloikus smaller b'yimina. It's a machloikus between the left and the right, meaning Gvura and Chesed. Gavna dom machloikus Korach ba'Aron, and that's similar to the machloikus between Korach and Aron. Okay? So essentially what he's saying is, which is all words in the meantime, I don't really understand what it means yet, but for now, what it means is as follows. That Korach made a machloikas against Aaron, right? Essentially, the basic machloikas of Korach was between him and Aaron, which is similar to the division between upper waters and the lower waters, which apparently also has to do with the division between Chesed and Gevura. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next page. The Rebbe goes through a whole series of things, and the point that the Rebbe makes is as follows. That it appears that Korach wasn't just arguing with Aaron. In other words, like this. Sometimes there's different ways of having a machlekes. Right? Even in life, in real life. Different people, the way people have conflict. Sometimes a person doesn't want conflict, but he wants to achieve a certain outcome. And the only way to achieve it is through a machlekes, he makes a machlekes. Right? Okay, so you want someone's position. So obviously, he doesn't actually really want to fight. He would rather it just happens, but it's not happening. So he goes and he does something and he takes it over, and the byproduct is a division, a conflict, a machlekes. With Korach, it seems differently. Korach, it seems, and the Rebbe brings a number of proofs for this, that Korach actually wanted to have machlekes. He was interested in the concept of machlekes. Okay. And like you see in that one line there, he says, "Val pizeh yesh lomer sheikir in yonei shel Korach," on the right hand side there. No, you got the wrong page there. The page that, no, the double side over there. Yeah. Right, sheikir in yonei shel Korach, that the main concept of Korach is machlekes. But sorry, now the next highlight part says, "V'tzorach lomer," we have to understand. Hari Korach pikachoy. We know that Korach was a smart man. That's what it says in Chazal. Korach wasn't a fool. Right? Mistaber loymer, and it's logical to say, Shamachloikas shaloy al kahunas Aaron. Why did he have this machloikas, and what did he want that machloikas for? We must say, Hoysa mipnei shatoa bedarke avoida. It's because he made a mistake. He, in other words, really Korach came from a good place. That's what Chassidus always explains. Ended up bad, but it came from a good place. He wanted something in Avodas Hashem, it seems, right? But he just made a mistake. It was wrong what he wanted. But he wanted really something in Avodas Hashem. But what's really not understood is, okay, why did he want machlekes? It seems like he didn't just want the goal, the outcome. He didn't just want to be a Kohen Gadol. He wanted machlekes. So what kind of derech in Avodas Hashem is that? What kind of pathway in serving Hashem is machlekes? It's not a good thing, machlekes, right? Okay. So now let's go into a very big explanation. So look, if you have a look at Gimel, the chapter that starts Gimel, it says like this: Yuvin Zeh. We'll be able to explain this behektim by first prefacing Hayodua, the well-known thing, beinyan rokia hamavdil ben mayim limoyim. Let's go back to this concept of the heaven that divided between the upper waters and the lower waters. Now, let me just tell you something interesting. That we know that when Hashem created the world, right, every day it says the word Ki Tov, you know that, yeah? Except for Monday. says Ki Tov was good. Hashem saw it was good, except for Monday. And on Tuesday, there's twice Ki Tov. Why not Monday? Because Monday, there wasn't anything good. Monday was just a division. Machloikas, the concept of Machloikas was created on Monday. That's what it says. Right? Yeah. It's part of the design. Part of the design of creation, right? Now, at the end, that machlekas was resolved on Tuesday. As we'll see later in the Maimer. That's why on Tuesday it says twice Ki Tov. Okay. Because what happened on Monday was just division. That's all it was. It was upper waters, lower waters. Nothing came from that. There's no benefit out of that. Tuesday, what happened was that Hashem took the lower waters and then made them into oceans, and the dry land became exposed. And Hashem saw that was good. Ki Tov. And then he created something else for Tuesday, which was all the grass and the trees and everything like that. Okay. Second Ki Tov, right? But Monday was Machlokes. What was Machlokes between what? Between the upper waters and the lower waters. Now, I'll just give you a bit of background here. The Zohar tells us that the lower waters cried. The lower waters cried when Hashem divided between the upper waters and the lower waters. The lower waters cried, Anan ba'inon lemeve kodo malko. We want to be before Hashem too. Why do you send us down, right? We also want to be in front of Hashem. Interesting, by the way, that Hashem, it says in the Medrash, it's nothing to do with the Maimon, but it's interesting. The Medrash says Hashem appeased the waters. We're talking about the waters of the ocean here, right? And he gave two mitzvahs. One to do with salt, one to do with water, because salt and water are both in the ocean. The salt was that every korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash had salt with it. And also once a year, on Sukkot, there was, instead of pouring, in addition to pouring wine on the Mizbeach, there was the idea called Nisuch HaMayim, which was pouring the water on the Mizbeach each day of Sukkot, right? Okay. But what's this idea? What does it mean that they cried? What's going on? It's like this. The Mayim, the concept of water, Heim Tainuk. Water is pleasure. That's what water is. Tanya also says like that. Remember in Perek Beis of Tanya. Because there's shamayim matzmichim kol minei tainu, because water is what makes everything pleasurable grow. The feature behemish in a tainu, because apparently water in a hidden way contains this idea of tainu, of desire, of pleasure, of yeah. Now, what's the difference? Verakia hamavdil bein mayim elyoinin lemayim tachtoinim. The heaven that divided between the upper waters and the lower waters, he a parcel, it's a division. It's the separation between pleasure, which comes from spirituality, which is Mayim Elyonim, that's the upper waters, and the pleasures of this world, Mayim Tachtonim, which is physical pleasures, right? What's the difference between the two? Spiritual pleasures is where you have a pleasure for something that's connected to godliness. So a person has, let's say, a pleasure to... He has a desire to have pleasure in learning, to do a mitzvah, I don't know, to sing a nigun, whatever, right? So he's connecting to something godly, yeah? Whereas when a person has just pleasures to gashmias, he wants to have, I don't know, he wants to eat, he wants to sleep, whatever the case is, right? That's pleasures of ruch, that's pleasures of gashmias. That's something where you don't see the connection to Hashem in an open way, yeah? Now, what was the point of emphasizing that division? What was the point from Hashem, so to speak, to expose that physical pleasure that it's a very low madrega? The hakavona, the intention, berakia mavdil ben mayim elyon mayim tachtoinim, the intention in making that division, who bichdei shalidei ze yisalu mayim tachtoinim lemaylo yoyse shoykoidim eridosa. The idea is, the purpose of this exercise was that afterwards the physical pleasure should be elevated to a higher madrega than they were before they came down. Okay? Which is another way of saying, like, Dirub Tachtoinim, right? Bringing Hashem into the world, and therefore the gashmis, the physicality will be elevated to a much higher level than it was before. Why? Because Alidei Yeridosam Lamata, what happens is, this is the process. When Hashem sent the gashmistic pleasure, he sent the lower waters down here, he sent them to a very low level because that's where they belong, kind of thing. What happened to them? So the waters below had this desire. They felt the lacking. They felt that they don't have the prime seat there. They were sent to second place. They were sent down here. So they started to cry, and they had this desire to be elevated above. And that's why he brings the Zohar that I said before. Mayim tachtoinim boichin, that the lower waters cry, anan bo'inon lemeve kamo malka. We want to be before the king. In other words, the result was that since Hashem distanced himself, so to speak, he sent the pleasures of physicality down here, and he made a distance between him, between the spiritual and the physical. He made that divide very emphasized and very obvious. There suddenly became an extreme feeling of lacking with the physical pleasures, and so to speak, they have this. We feel distant. Therefore, they have this cry that they want to become close to Hashem. When the mayim tachtoinim, when the physical pleasures feel that distance, right, and they want to come closer to Hashem, then they elevate it to a much, much higher level than they were before they came down. And in fact, they elevate it to a level which is even higher than the higher waters, right? Yeah, you could say it like that. It's the divide between Gashmius and Ruchnius, really, right? I mean, I'll give you an example of how this works, right? So we have this concept we often find in the idea of tshuva, right? A person fails, a person becomes lower, right? And he does tshuva. How does the tshuva work? And how does the tshuva, we say that a tshuva elevates a person to a degree greater than a tzaddik, right? So the tshuva works because when a person makes a real cheshbon, how far he fell, he feels this very big distance, right? Now, it doesn't mean the lower waters always feel a distance. Like Gashmius doesn't always feel a problem, right? But the idea is for Gashmius to understand that it's very low level and to feel this yearning. When a Baal Tshuva, for example, feels the yearning that he's made such a distance between him and Hashem, and he creates this incredible yearning to return, he returns even stronger than a tzaddik. A tzaddik could never have the distance, right? A similar idea is saying before. That when Hashem took whatever represented by the lower waters, could be the humans, could be just physical pleasures in general. We'll see later, we have different parts of our life that are more represented by upper waters, lower waters, right? But the idea is that when the lower waters understand that they're on a low level and they have this realization how distant they are from a high level, how distant they are from the upper waters, they develop this tshuka, this desire to come close, which in turn results in them being elevated to a much higher level even than the upper waters. That's why I gave you that muscle of a Baal Tshuva, the same sort of idea. Right? That's what Chazal tell us. That's why Kitoiv, that's why on Tuesday it says twice Kitoiv. One was for the water, what happened the day before on Monday, right? One was for Tuesday. In other words, what happened was that the Kitoiv came out stronger on Tuesday, because it elevated what happened before. Okay. Now comes the whole mice. So we have to understand. Let me. Okay. Let me give you the background to the next piece. A bit of a complicated, deep idea. Here was Korach's problem. You see, the Mayim Tachtoinim, right? The lower waters get elevated even higher than the upper ones, correct? Through that desire, through that yearning. But the key factor is, what happens is, they feel distant, they feel lower than. So because they feel lower than, and they have this yearning to go up, they go up very high, right? Which means that the lower waters really are dependent. The aliyah, the elevation of low waters, is dependent on them feeling distant from the higher waters. Correct? Korach had a problem with that. Let's understand the problem. When Hashem created a world, He created Ruchnius and Gashmius, right? So let's put it down in a way we can understand in this, in the context of this moment. So there's chesed and there's gvura. There's revelation, there's gilui, and there's tzimtzum, concealment, right? Chesed is when Hashem is revealed. So for example, Hashem creates the upper worlds, I don't know, Olam Atzilus, Olam HaBriah, right? That's what Hashem has revealed, right? That's chesed. Revelation is chesed. This world is total gvura, it's total concealment. Hashem is completely hidden in this world, right? Which gives room for a finite thing like Gashmis. Not only a finite thing like Gashmis, but a thing of the Gashmis that denies the existence of Hashem. In other words, a Gashmis that doesn't exude, it doesn't automatically give off the presence of Hashem, right? Yeah? Sorry? Sure, of course. But the ultimate symptom is this world, right? So, if we talk about in the context of Gilui, in the context of revelation, this world obviously is the lowest world. Hello? And that, in that level, Gevura is lower than Chesed. Chesed with Hashem Chesed is light, Gevura is darkness. Yeah? But the truth is that the origin, the shoyresh, the mocker, the root of Gashmis is higher than Ruchnis. Higher than Ruchnis. There are many ways to explain this, but in one short concept, the power of Tzimtzum is actually greater than the power of Gilui. Right? Hashem is everywhere, correct? See, this is the point. When we talk about Tzimtzum, we talk about Hashem not being somewhere or being hidden. It's not really true. Of course, He's everywhere. It's just the way it appears, right? In other words, Hashem has Oir and He has Choshech. He has light and He has darkness. He has Gilui and He has Tzimtzum, Chesed and Gvura, right? But if you're learning the daily Tanya these days, you'll see that Gvura is no less of a power than Chesed. In other words, Hashem is no less in darkness as it is in light, correct? In fact, one could say He's more in the darkness than His light. His greatness is more. It says in Tanya that this world is rooted in the essence of Hashem. In the complete essence of Hashem. Why? Because to create a world that completely conceals the presence of Hashem, and that the world thinks mitziusoi ve'atzmusoi, that it made itself, it came from itself, the only thing that can create that, the only level of godliness that can create that, is the essence of Hashem Himself, who Himself is mitziusoi ve'atzmusoi. He is not a created being. He is. He just is. In other words, this contradiction of having a Gashmias, having Gevura, where Hashem is hidden, but He's there just as much as He is there in the light, that's an unbelievable power. Right? We can do it to a degree, but we can't be there, not there at the same time. Meaning the world of Bria can create Yetzira, because it's Gilui. But because Bria understands it's dependent on something else, so it creates something else that's dependent on it. This world seems like an independent entity. The only thing that can create it is the power of Hashem Himself, who's an independent entity. So, and that's why when we know the Mashiach will come, that's the point of Torah Mitzvahs, to reveal Hashem in this world. And ultimately when Mashiach will come, the essence of Hashem will be revealed in this world. Not just the Elam Atzilis and the Chesed and the Gevura. The essence of Hashem Himself will be revealed in this world, right? Because ultimately, really, Hashem's essence is more manifested in this world than it is in the higher worlds. You don't need the power of the essence of Hashem to create Bria or Yetzirah. But you need the absolute essence of Hashem, the pure infinity of Hashem, which is higher, transcends both Gvul and Bligvul, both infinity and finiteness, and both limitations and unlimited, and higher and darkness and light. Everything transcends everything. He can create this world, where He's here fully, but He's not here. Meaning you can't see Him. Right? Now, Kohanim and Levim, Kohanim are Chesed, and Levim are Gevura. Right? So Aaron HaKohen was Chesed, and Korach was Gevura. Korach was a Levi. A very important Levi, actually. Right? So Korach says, we don't need, he says, what we need is, we need the Machlokes. The Machlokes is Gevura. Korach's claim was the following. He said, why do I need to reveal Hashem in the Mayim Tachtoim, in the lower waters? Through the mechanism that they should really want to be connected to the high waters, right? Why is it dependent on the high waters? Its source is higher than the high waters. So we should be able to go straight to the Gashmius. The Gashmius doesn't need to cry, I want to go upwards. We can discover Hashem in the Gashmius. Yeah? Now we know the system doesn't work like that. A simple life example. How is a person able to discover Hashem in his business? Which is the Gashmius part of our life, right? How is that possible? Only if he first davens and learns. Right? So we've always got to go through Ruchnius first. Not only after he davens and learns, but only through the fact that the whole time when he's in the Gashmius, he should always be yearning for the Ruchnius, right? But Korach said, why does it need to happen like that? Why don't we get up in the morning and just discover Hashem in the Gashmius? Hashem is there. He's more there than in the Ruchnius. He's more in the lower waters than the upper waters. In a way. He's more manifested there. It's great, this is best anything. So go straight to the Gashmius. In other words, what Korach was doing was highlighting the greatness of Gevura as opposed to Chesed. Yeah? You never knew that Korach knew so much Chesedus, right? Just go to the three lines from the bottom. We'll do it inside there, right? It says in the middle of the line, Avalafi Ta'usoy Shal Korach. According to the mistake of Korach, Sha'akavana, the whole intention of creation, which is correct, by the way, Hu Betanugim Gashmias Atzma. The intention of the creation is the Gashmias. She is Galabem Shairish Gashmias, that the root and the origin of Gashmias should be revealed in the Gashmias. And by the way, that is correct. We know this from Chassidus. Ultimately, the purpose is the Gashmius sticker world. Ultimately. So then he said, Ade Adra, but that's the case on the contrary. Ikar HaMaila, the greatest Maila is, Behat Tzimtzum VeHaGevuras. In the Tzimtzumim and the Gevura. Shemehem HaDvarim Misam Gashmius. That's how Gashmius comes about, through Gevura and Tzimtzum. So therefore, why? What do we need? So it should be maintained. He wanted to maintain the Gevura. That's what it means. He wanted Machloikas. Machloikas comes to Gevura. Well, don't try and do away. Don't try and say that the Gashmius has to cry the whole time. It's got to go to the Ruchnius. No, the purpose is the Gashmius, right? Lots of Korachs today. A lot of people saying this today. People who sometimes distort Chassidus, right? Because we learn about the greatest Gashmius through Tachtoinim. So then the intention is the Gashmius. So then we should. So what about worrying about Ruchnius? We should just focus on Gashmius. Says the Rebbe, Avol Korach Tobazeh. But Korach made a very fundamental mistake. Key, because now you got to go to the page. I don't know, what page? Oh. Yeah, the page that says on the top, Reish Dalet. Right? You see that? It says, why? Ki gilu yishoyrish amayim tachtoinim gashvim atzmam. Because the revelation of the source of Gashmius itself, Yiel Asid Love, will only happen when Mashiach comes. Korach had a good point, but it was completely premature. Right? When Mashiach will come, Taka, you won't need to learn a big shiur and to daven really hard to understand that the table is godliness. Mashiach will come, you look at the table, you'll see the power of God. True. Exactly what's going to happen. What Korach wanted to happen will happen when Mashiach comes. But it only happens if first we go through the preparation, which is, and he says, it's only through, how does this happen? How is it going to happen that ultimately the shayrish, the root, the origin of the gashmis, which is Hashem in a stronger way, will be revealed in the mayim tachtonim, in the low waters? It has to be first the feeling in the mayim tachtonim that the mayim elyonim, the upper waters, are greater. And they have to yearn for that. So I'll explain why in a second. Through that feeling, there's a desire to go upwards. And through that, there will be the revelation of the root, the origin of Gashmis. What does this mean? It means like this. It's true that ultimately the Shoresh, the origin of Gashmis, will be revealed, and it'll be revealed, it'll be seen that it's even higher than the Mayim Elyonim. But the problem is this. It is true that Hashem is in darkness as much as He is in light, right? And therefore He's in the Gevurah more than the Chesed, in a way. But if you don't go through the Chesed, then you're stuck in the Tzimtzum. You're never going to reveal Hashem's presence in darkness if it's dark. You're never going to reveal if you sustain the Tzimtzum, if you don't try and do away from the Tzimtzum, then you're going to end up seeing Tzimtzum. And that's going to be the end of the story.
But how do you do away with the darkness?
Oh, by yearning for light. No. Ultimately, you have to transform the darkness. Ultimately, the darkness will show that it has Hashem in it more than the light. But you can only reveal that if the darkness comes to the realization that it's dark and it looks for light. Correct, that's the point. Therefore, you have to look for light. In other words, the darkness, the world has to feel that it's nothing. And that it yearns for revelation. When it yearns for revelation, ultimately will discover that the revelation is in it. But it works first, you have to want to go away from yourself, away from the Kashmir. The darkness must look for light, and then we'll discover that the light is in it even stronger. And that was the mistake of Korach. You can't start by going straight to the Gashmis. That will happen when Mashiach comes. When all this is done, all this is accomplished, then that's exactly what's going to happen. Right? Mashiach will come, it'll be the ultimate dream of Korach, where we'll see the Tzimtzum shine, right? And we'll recognize, we'll see Hashem in the Tzimtzum as much as we do in the revelation, even stronger. Because the essence of Hashem will be revealed. But it only happens if the Tzimtzum wants to become no Tzimtzum anymore, right? Now, this is so fundamental to the way we serve Hashem, it's really cannot be overemphasized. Because what he starts to explain afterwards is this, right? Because this idea is also now. So let me give you an example. What he says later in number A. In our world, we also have, in our Vodas Hashem, actually, we have these two worlds as well. So there's something called Masechol Hashem Shemaim. So a person, let's say, eats. A person does business, right? A person's involved in Gashmis, right? So we know everything in our life is supposed to be part of serving Hashem, right? The question is how? So one way is that we look at our life as the whole purpose of our life is ruchnis, Torah mitzvahs. Learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, right? So why am I eating? Why am I sleeping? Why am I doing business? So I should have the koyach, and I should have the resources to give tzedakah and to do Torah and learn Torah and be completely immersed in ruchnis, right? But then there's something called a high level. It's called the high level is b'chol derachecha da'ayu, which means I don't I don't do business so that I should be able to learn. I see Hashem in the business. I discover Hashem in the business. Right? Is that a difference? What's higher? Ultimately, what's higher? What's higher is when you see Hashem in the business. However, a Yid can't serve Hashem like that. That's what the Rebbe explains in the next chapter. In order to accomplish that, we have to begin with that the whole purpose of anything that we do physical is only to arrive at spiritual. Then, if that happens, because your whole aspiration becomes the spiritual. Once you are a spiritual person, then you'll be able to go to the next level and see that actually you can discover Hashem in the business, in the eating, right, if you're on a high level. But it's got to start with the lower waters dream of the higher waters. Yeah? So this, by the way, it's a very big theme in the Rebbe's Sichus. Now, when I say it's a very big theme, because we know that the Rebbe, more than other Rebbes in a way, right? Not more, I'm saying, but he more emphasized. The Rebbe being the seventh Rebbe, and Dor HaShvi, the seventh generation, and he made it very clear at the beginning that our job is finally to bring Hashem's presence into this world, right? So if you take part of the Rebbe's Sichus, you'll see an overemphasis, not overemphasis, but I mean a tremendous emphasis on Gashmius, right? That the Gashmiistic world is a place where we can serve Hashem, we can reveal Hashem. That was all famous Sichah when the Rebbe spoke about technology. In those days, the Rebbe was talking about radio, not television, and not even smartphones, right? And he said that, if Hashem created it, it means it's for a purpose, and if you have to be able to, right, and therefore it's a good thing, and therefore, right, even though, because there were those that opposed when the Rebbe first agreed for Tanya to be taught on the radio, there were some communities that had a big complaint against the Rebbe. Why are we using something which is normally used for impurity, why are you using it for ruchness, right? They looked at the radio as a trefer thing. And in fact, most radios and most people's homes were a trefer thing. Meaning, not the trefer, so the Rebbe explained, not the radios are trefer, it's the content that's trefer, right? Same thing with television, same thing, all these things, right? The Rebbe said, but later on the Rebbe read for his Fabrenians to go be televised on cable television, right? Doesn't mean that television all of a sudden became kosher. It just means that the technology is kosher. You just have to use it for the right reason, right? And it was created for a purpose, right? So the whole thing about the Rebbe saying engaging and going out and bringing Hashem into the world, the lowest part of the world, Dirubatachtonim is like the central theme in the Rebbe's Sichus, right? On the one hand. On the other hand, this is very, very much emphasized as well, that if you want to achieve Dirubatachtonim, you've got to immerse yourself first in Ruchnis. Because we're not at Mashiach yet. You've got to, your absolute focus and desire has to be Ruchnis. And then you got to go back into the Gashmius by force. But you don't want to be there. So like, I'll give you an example. So like, there's a famous idea, right? We spoke about this many times, but there's a famous idea of like, so we have Shabbos, we have weekday. Yeah? Weekday is on a lower level, clearly. Shabbos is holier. That's why we say Shabbos Kodesh, right? But where is the ultimate purpose of Hashem's creation really fulfilled? In the weekday or Shabbos? Weekday. You know when it works? When the whole week, you don't want to be there. You want to get to Shabbos. When your focus is getting to Shabbos, then you fulfill Hashem's intention in the weekday. Right? It's the same thing with the businessman and the Rosh Hashiva. Who's really fulfilling the ultimate purpose of Hashem's creation? The businessman, if he's doing it right. Yeah? Serving Hashem, he's keeping all the halachas, he's giving tzedakah, he's making a kiddush Hashem in his business, right? He's actually fulfilling Dirubat Achtoni more than the Rosh Hashiva is. When does it work? When the businessman a whole day is feels a lacking. He feels, what am I doing here? I can't wait till I can close the shop so I can run to the Rosh Hashiva and have a shir. Right? When his whole desire is ruchnis, then he fulfills the purpose better in Gashmias. But only if he doesn't want to be there, only if it's Mayim Tachtoinim Boichim. The lower waters are crying. I don't want to be here. I'm just here by force. Hashem said so. Okay, so I'm here. That's why we don't want to leave Shabbos. Right? We don't leave Shabbos. It says some people sing a Zmiris on Motzei Shabbos. Al tira avdi Yaakov. Don't be afraid, my servant Yaakov. You can go into the week, take the power of Shabbos with you, and you'll be okay. Because he doesn't want to leave Shabbos. Because we don't go with Korach's shitta. We don't go with Korach's view. Because in order to, yes, it's true, the week you can achieve more than the Shabbos. Only when you don't want to be there. So I'll just tell you in a sikha, a famous sikha. The Rebbe brings this out in a different way. It's a very, very fundamental sikha. I love the sikha, it's one of my favorites. Where the Rebbe goes through the, explains Korach in a bit of a different way, but arrives at the same conclusion. And explains that Korach, he explains the three letters. You ever learned this? By Kuf, Resh, and Ches. Absolutely phenomenal. I know it's not this week's parasha, but it's next week's parasha. You learn it, right? The Rebbe says, if you look at Kuf, Resh, and Ches, the name of Korach, right? You'll see that they all resemble another letter. You ever thought of that? They all resemble another letter. They're a variation of another letter. You know which one? The hey. I'll show you. This is a hey, correct?
Yeah.
What's a kuf? If I extend this, it'll be like a kuf. If I take it away, it'll be like a resh. If I extend it and it touches the top, it'll be a ches. Correct? So kuf, resh, korach is three letters which resemble a hey, but not quite like a hey. And they resemble three mistakes in serving Hashem. Three mistakes. How so? The Rebbe explains like this. Beautiful idea. The hey has three lines, the top, the right, and this. They represent the two parts of the person. The top line and the right line represent machshava and dibur, thought and speech, which basically in Avodas Hashem represents all the spiritual experiences that we have. Thinking about Hashem, learning Torah, davening, that's all the ruchnius, right? What's the left leg? That's the third one, that's maisa, that's action, that's kashmis, right? So really it's like similar to the two worlds, of the upper waters and the lower waters, right? Now, what's a kuf? Kuf is like this. When a person serves Hashem, he needs to know that whatever he does in the world of action must be within the parameters of Torah learning, halacha. As soon as you take the line going down, you start making up your own stuff, and you go out of the parameters of halacha and Torah, you messed up. Okay. That's the kuf. Okay, simple. That's a simple mistake. Understood mistake. Terrible mistake, but understood. What's the resh? Also, resh is something else. The resh is someone says, I don't want the gashmis altogether. I'm going to detach myself from gashmis as much as possible. I'm going to live my life and immerse and swim in the world of thought and speech as much as I can. Of course, I'm going to do mitzvahs and all that, but that's it. I don't want to have to do with the world. I don't want to know from the world. I want to be immersed in ruchnis. Well, you missed the point there. The whole purpose of creation is to bring Hashem into the gashmis. So that's the resh. That's the second thing of kirach. What's the ches? Ches is like this. Ches is, says the Rebbe, a person has to be a hay. He has to learn Torah, he has to daven, he has to be involved in ruchnis, and he's got to be involved in action, right? Whereas in the world of Maisa, he always has to feel that he's lacking something. He has to feel distant, right? Like I always says, the businessman, if he thinks he's just as important as the Rosh Hashiva, he's got a big problem. If the weekday thinks they're as important as Shabbos, got a big problem. Is the businessman actually doing more than the Rosh Hashiva? Yes. But it only works if he doesn't feel it when he defers to the Rosh Hashiva. I'm just giving an example here, right? If a big tzaddik, if a big Talmud Chacham walks into the room, we get up, right? Because we respecting his ruchnis. If the big businessman who's a real chassid and he's giving his dog walks, we don't get up for him. Why? Maybe you should get up even more than we should get up for the tzaddik, because he's really fulfilling Hashem's mission, right? But no, it doesn't work like that because the mayim tachtonim have to feel lacking. They have to defer to the mayim elyonim. So when you take the world of action, you connect it to the top, you make a ches, which means you think the world of gashmis is on par with the world of ruchnis. That's what's really Korach's mistake, as explained in this mimer. Then it's Korach. How to be? You have to be a hey. Of course, we need the world of gashmis, but it has to be separate and lacking and yearning to connect and feeling the gap between it, the distance between it and the world of Ruchnis. The Maim Tachtonim have to cry, I want to be close to the Ruchnis, and then they can reveal their source, which is even higher. And you see that by the Rebbe in a very strong way. You see his even in his talks, you see how in one Farbrengen there can be a mimer where he delves into the deepest things of Chassidus, and then he can talk about, I don't know, a moment of silence in non-Jewish public schools. In the same Farbrengen, right? Because you've got to go from the, because you've got to have both extremes. So the one hand was very about bringing the Eibishter down to the lowest level, but it only happens when you completely bottle to the highest level. And we saw that his demands also, I mean, the Rebbe's, you know, one of the last sikhs of the Rebbe was to the Kinnus HaShluchim, the last Kinnus HaShluchim, which was 1991, actually, towards the end of Tavshin and Beis. Not the end of the beginning of Tavshin and Beis. And the Rebbe spoke to Shluchim, right? All about the whole Shluchus to bring Mashiach. It was a very, very powerful sikh about bringing, about making the focus about Shluchus to bring Mashiach. And so. Now, Shluchim are people that deal with the world, right? That's what the idea of Shluchus is. Doesn't only mean official Shluchim, means every, that's what a Chassid is, right? You deal with the world to bring Hashem into the world, yeah? Obviously, a Shliach is someone that learns less than the Mashpia and Yeshiva, right? He doesn't have so much time to learn. He's out there, he's putting on Tefillin on Yidin, he's making camps on Yisrael, he's putting on Chanukah on the earth, right? And an amazing thing, just like all of a sudden, the Rebbe slips it in there towards the end of that Farbrengen, he asked that Shluchim should take upon themselves the importance of learning the whole Likutei Torah each year. Now, Likutei Torah is two, Torah and Likutei Torah, two books from the Alter Rebbe, which has lots of mamorim and difficult mamorim on every week's parasha. Right? And it seems clear from that Farbrengen that the Rebbe was talking to people, understood their troubles and their challenges and their time constraints and stuff like that, and wanted Shluchim, it looks like, to... Because there were years where the Rebbe would speak about that Shluchim means you have to go and you have to give up some of your Ruchnis in order to help another Yid be connected to Hashem. All true. That's all about going downwards. But if that's for bringing it, it seemed that the Rebbe wanted that all Shluchim should finish the whole look of the Torah every year. Now, if you understand what Torah is, it's a mammoth job. I don't know how many people actually do it. I try to learn a section every Shabbos morning, but I can't tell you I finished it yet, right? It's huge. My father-in-law used to finish Kutei Torah every week, because it's pages and pages and pages every week, and difficult stuff. There are a few Yidden that do it, but I'm saying, but the concept was very clear. The concept is, don't forget about your own Ruchnis. You're doing amazing things, you bring a Mashiach, but you've got to strive for your own Ruchnis, otherwise you got your Shlichus is not going to work. Same idea, similar idea. All right. Good.